Welcome to another episode of the Real World Assets Show. Join us on our journey to tokenize the world. Let's roll. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Real World Assets Show. Today, we have a special guest. We have Dan Friedman here from Zengate. He's the founder and CEO of Zengate, and he also is part of building the platform, and they are the leader in building the platform for Palmyra, and also the Palm Economy, which we'll talk about. These are two new projects that are in the commodity space, and welcome, Dan.
Thanks for having me, Travis. Great to be here.
Nice. So I know I've followed your background for many years in being involved in the Cardano community, and I've heard quite a bit of your background, which is quite interesting. I'd love to chat more about, you know, as you know, you've been at IOHK and building several blockchain projects that led you to where you are now. So I'd love to hear a little bit about just kind of the origin story of Dan Friedman.
Sure. Right. So I started my career back in the 90s as a developer. I was a Java and Oracle developer all throughout the 90s. Well, not all throughout the 90s, later part of the 90s and into 2000, into the dot-com boom and subsequently the dot-com crash. And then from there on, I'd worked as a developer for quite a long time, almost 20 years. Now within that time, I also started working in business development and other entrepreneurial, ventures. And so my life and work and whatnot brought me to Japan, where I live right now. And so around early 2016, I was a CTO of an augmented reality company, out of Osaka. And I was just kind of looking for some new opportunities, and a friend of a friend turned out to be Charles's former business partner, and so they were at that point starting a new company, and there were a company called IOHK and the project called Cardano, which at that point nobody knew. And so what they needed was an experienced project manager to handle the pre-sale app, which ran the entire pre-sale of Cardano in Japan, everything from individual KYC to the back office, to everything. You know, it was a huge, huge application and ran the whole pre-sale. And so at that point, before I started doing the project, it was actually Jeremy, Charles's former business partner, that was managing that. And of course, he had other stuff to do, as you might imagine. And so I took over the project, ran that team. Then, of course, about a year and a half, a little bit more than that later, we launched Mainnet. The road to that was also not an easy one. You know, it was one of those things, you know, where every milestone that we in the Cardano community wait for kind of sometimes seems like it's, you know, this like magical unreachable thing. You know, first it was Shelley, then it was Gauguin, then now it's governance, you know, and of course everybody's really into it, but some people are just thinking, wow, this is a really difficult thing to launch, and it's, you know, I don't know if it's ever going to launch and whatnot. Well, that was kind of the same thing when we were, you know, getting up to Mainnet, because that seemed like a huge thing that was way, way out in the distance. But of course, we did launch. And so after we launched, I negotiated a few deals. I was, myself and John O'Connor, who's actually the director of the African operations now at IOG, negotiated the Bittrex listing, which was the first listing of Cardano in a centralized exchange. And so at that point that the sales, the pre-sale app was kind of wrapping up because the pre-sale was over, I changed into more of a commercial capacity in the company, and I essentially started the commercial arm of IOG, and the entire commercial operation. I was kind of the first official business developer of IOG. And throughout that time, I've done quite a few things, you know, like, say, for example, these sneakers right behind me, these sneakers behind me there. Yeah, there we go.
Yep.
Those are actually, I believe, the first RWA tokenization project that happened on Cardano, which was the New Balance deal, which was a deal that I put together where these sneakers, those are the Kawhi Leonard limited edition sneakers that were tokenized and put on Cardano with the help of Tangem cards. So basically, all the information that's the authenticity information from that sneaker was also imprinted into a Tangem card, and so this Tangem card then was put on chain, and so you registered. So these sneakers are actually on chain. I don't wear them because they're size 15, but still, they're there to remind me of like one of the first really cool deals that I was able to be a part of. Also worked in Georgia. I originally, you know, went to Georgia in 2018 when it wasn't the thing, and kind of opened up and brought Cardano out there with the help of some partners on the ground. Worked in various different capacities at IOG, and of course about 2 years ago decided that it was time for me to just kind of, you know, do my own thing. So I started Zengate, and I was always really passionate about working in emerging economies, and it was also very, very into kind of real world use cases, you know, not hypothetical, not theoretical, not okay, well, maybe if we build it they will come, but, you know, finding a solution for a problem, not finding a problem for a solution to solve,
right?
Which is something that is prevalent in our industry. So this is where the idea for Palmyra came up, because I was just kind of also I don't want to kind of go into the negative here, but it was also born out of somewhat of frustration with the industry, because, you know, we often hear in this industry that's like, oh, we're early. And that's an excuse to just screw around and not really, you know, not really go for it with these technologies and really trying to make businesses out of them, you know, which is what you really need for this technology to be, you know, mass adopted. And so that's what I said. Well, you know what? We got the technology. Enough. Okay. Enough is enough. We have enough technology to make a difference. We can do it. Okay. We just need a good business case. We need to create a business. We need to find a problem that can be solved that needs this solution. Well, basically know that the problem that we're looking at needs this solution. And the problem is, of course, was the underserved markets. And what I saw from my work in developing economies, markets like the wine market, like the coffee market, tea market, all these are huge commodity fields, multi-billion, multi-billion dollars. And still they're underserved because they don't have the same access as, say, gold and silver would to finances, to volume, to technologies, to just, you know, what actually our friends from World Mobile call Swiss cheese. That's what it boils down to. You know, there's gaping holes in access that a lot of these commodities lack. And that's where the idea for Palmyra came in,
nice.
Which is what we're building. And that basically brings us to today, and where what we're building is a tokenized commodities trading platform, utilizing the Ergo and Cardano blockchains. And of course, Ergo is another ecosystem that I work with and I have been a part of for several years. And of course, it's, you know, it's an amazing ecosystem on its own. And plus, it's also very synergistic with what we are, you know, I've been a part of in Cardano. As you know, and obviously our communities are very much interwoven. So both ecosystems are really, really close to my heart, and I'm building in both ecosystems, and you know, my company is building in both ecosystems. So it's just a really exciting time for us to be able to really kind of be the forerunners of a lot of this technological adoption, you know, where we strongly believe that we have the technology. We strongly believe that EUTXO is the way to go for things like tokenization and traceability, digital credentials, on-chain certifications, on-chain warehouse receipts, and all these different things. Decentralized trade financing, all these different things are great on EUTXO. And so, yeah, we're just going for it. We made a business out of it.
Yeah, I love that. No, kudos for that, for sure. And I think the thing I'll point out, I just kind of bring some of the listeners up to speed too, from a lot of people that maybe aren't native to Cardano. And as we know, the future is multi-chain. So coming into this and realizing, like, from IOHK is input-output Hong Kong, one of the originating foundations essentially of Cardano, and started in Japan, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, that it was an interesting, you know, background of how Cardano got started, if, for those who didn't know that. But I think also to point out too, your work in Georgia, the country, you know, that involved a lot of the traceability of wine and commodities that kind of led you to where you are today. Like you mentioned, just kind of, you know, going your own. And I think clearly the real world applications, and that's my passion too, is what solving problems that exist, not creating, you know, casinos or speculation machines. This is the technology is there, the business problems are there, and, you know, projects like yours are connecting the dots, which is great. So I think where, and I agree, I mean, the Swiss cheese analogy is a great way to think about how disconnected and how RWA projects can connect or make that cheese whole. So I'd love to talk a little bit, you know, as we transition here into the Palm economy and what you're doing with commodities and really what this project looks like, because obviously that's really why people are tuning in here, is to kind of learn about how they can get involved in not only supporting the local businesses on the ground, which you guys are doing, but also how this is connecting into DeFi and the real world applications of this.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get into that. And so to really understand where the Palm economy comes in, you have to understand the Palmyra ecosystem. So the Palmyra ecosystem consists of three pillars. The first one is, of course, the Palmyra platform, the tokenized commodities trading platform, which is actually live now at palmyra.app. And so the second pillar is the Palm economy, which is essentially the financial bedrock of the Palmyra ecosystem. The third one, of course, is the Palm DAO, which is the decentralized business development treasury that we've designed to really kind of nourish and utilize community involvement in the project, which we've enjoyed so much thus far. And this is not just community kind of saying, yay, that you guys are awesome, you know, you guys, we love what you guys do, but actually getting involved and saying, hey, I know an opportunity in this country, you know, and I think this is a great underserved commodity to put on Palmyra. And so up until now, and of course, you know, in going forward, we would engage with everybody and say, okay, yeah, that's a great opportunity. Or actually, you know what, maybe that's not very synergistic with what we're doing. And would, of course, explain why. And, you know, and but still, the community wants to do business with us. And we love that. And so the reason for the Palm DAO is to encourage that. So essentially, the Palm DAO would work in a way like Catalyst does, where people would submit a proposal. That proposal will get voted on, and if the community feels that this proposal would synergistic with what Palmyra does and the Palmyra ecosystem, it would get funded, and they can do their own business. Right? They can do business that would bring volume and traffic into the Palmyra ecosystem.
Yeah.
However, the Palm economy in itself is a really unique vehicle, and so. Of course, at the heart of it is the Palm token. And so the Palm token has various different utilities, right? So the first and a very kind of cool, I'm really kind of proud of this one, is the staking and burning mechanism. And so the way it works is, so this is a deflationary model, but the way it works is The palm economy constantly gets capital infusion from the Palmyra platform. And so what happens is the Palmyra platform actually just utilizes fiat. It doesn't utilize crypto for payments, which is, you know, there's various different reasons, regulations, barriers of entry, and so on. And so we want to make sure that the platform is usable now, not in 10 years when there's actually clear regulation for cryptocurrency.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Keep going.
Yeah, the transaction fees that happen on the Palmyra platform are in fiat. Now, a portion of the transaction fee gets converted into Palm. So basically what we do is we take a portion of that transaction fee, go and purchase Palm on the market, on just the regular market, and then distribute this Palm as rebates to the stakers. And so essentially, number one, you're helping to scale the platform. Number two, you're constantly getting fresh capital infusion into the economy, meaning that there's always new capital coming in, right? So there's no stagnant, you know, mass in there that might or might not be sustainable. And of course, if you're a producer, you can then offset your transaction fees by staking the token. So, you know, a great set of utilities. Another one that's really cool is the Oracle incentives system. And so the way it works is we created this robust Oracle incentive structure to be able to accommodate a robust Oracle network. And so what that means is this particular platform requires all different types of Oracles, you know, the pricing Oracles, IoT Oracles and off-chain data Oracles, Oracles that can do proof of reserve, Oracles that can do, proof of origin, you know, all these different things, right? And it's not just the same thing, right? It's all these different things that need to happen to be able to really optimize the traceability and tokenization process. And so for that, we need to utilize several different Oracle solutions. And so the first one is, of course, the Oracle solution that was designed by our tokenomics partner, 01x, which is a very unique bespoke Oracle solution that utilizes slashing to make sure that the data that's going on chain is quality. We're also in talks with Chainlink to utilize CCIP and their proof of reserve protocol. And we're also looking at Ergo Oracles as well for utilizing them in various different use cases. So that's also a very big part of the platform because, of course, you know, your traceability is only as good as your data. And so, yeah, that's the Palm economy in a nutshell. And it's very exciting to be able to deploy something like this.
I love that. So I think it'd be great to even back up then from the origin, you know, pun intended, from traceability of talking about the platform itself and really how this works. What commodities are you focusing on first, or what do you already have set up, and really kind of more of the visual aspect of how people are going to see this go through the pipeline here.
Right. So right now, the first commodity, our pilot commodity was Ceylon tea. So that's what we specialized on. And from there on, we expanded to other tea growing regions and other types of tea. After which we onboarded other commodities like Ceylon cinnamon or spices. We also onboarded some Zambian honey. We're onboarding Greek olives and Greek olive oil as well. Later on in the year, we're also going to be onboarding Turkish hazelnuts. We're also speaking to semi-precious stone producers and miners that are also looking to utilize the platform. So, yeah, there's a variety of commodities that are available there right now, and we're constantly expanding on these commodities.
Nice. And as you mentioned, I mean, this is where the DAO comes in, because obviously, you know, they can help point out or even help verify interest in new commodities as well as vote on them. And I do like how you kind of explained the structure point of the DAO, where it's a lot more like the culture catalyst format that Cardano uses, where it's not a definitive DAO, which in most cases isn't always, doesn't always work with corporate investments or institutional investments because, you know, the DAO isn't necessarily the end-all, be-all answers to everything, but they are driving a lot of the momentum and decisions, and they're an influencer of decisions, which is great. I think that's helpful because, as you mentioned, it's a community aspect here. But I do think that's where I'm curious to hear what you've heard from your community about new commodities and how that's even related to anything you've adopted so far.
Yeah, I mean, there is quite a bit. I mean, of course, we're talking to coffee producers and people wanting to onboard coffee. Cocoa is another one from Ghana, and there's another. I forgot which other. There's another region that's also famous for cocoa. I think Argentina, something like that. So another one is actually coffee from Honduras. That's another one that we're working on right now.
On coffee, as you know, coffee and cocoa are going to be competing with gold prices. The way it's going, they're increasing.
I can imagine. And they're highly underserved. You know, these commodity fields are highly underserved. They require this type of solution. So that's why I'm really excited about going into them. So another one is, of course, semi-precious stones, various types of stones that are not your typical gold, silver, and diamonds, right? Could be jade, could be amethyst, could be a variety of different stones that could also go on the platform. And of course, you know, in this case, you have sustainability and the ESG requirements that are also going to be met with utilizing traceability and tokenization. Another one that we're actually really interested in looking into is carbon credits and carbon offset. And so this is also a field that really requires a lot more scrutiny as far as auditing goes of data, you know, just to making sure that that these carbon credits are not misused or they're actually real. So that's also something that we're looking into. So again, like I said, and all of these are coming from the community. Like I said, there's quite a bit of business coming our way from the community, which is, like I said, which is the reason for the Palm DAO.
Yeah. I mean, and your holders are all over the world, so it's great. They have, you know, nothing better than boots on the ground that are saying, hey, this is what I'm seeing in my area. This is where demand might be, and may even know suppliers as well. So I think just a quick pivot on this, I think what would be interesting, and obviously part of the goal of my show is to reach other people outside of, as you know, real world assets and tokenization is in many ways kind of non-crypto, because, you know, there's still a crypto component as a token, but it's less speculative and less related to on-chain activity only. You know, it's tied to real world business models, like you mentioned. So I think I always like to just kind of talk through the difference from a simple standpoint of, if somebody was investing in commodities today, you know, through the standard methods, how is this different and better to use the Palmyra platform and, you know, the ecosystem that you've created? Obviously, I know a lot of those answers, but I'd love to point that out to the listeners that really kind of understand, you know, the breadth and the impact that this makes.
Yeah. So, and that's a great question, because I think there's also kind of this lack of understanding exactly what commodities are and how they're traded and why they're traded, right? So, of course, there is the, you know, people are looking for the upside. That's why they trade. Why do they trade anything? You know, they want the bigger the better, right? It's always the bigger the better. And it's the same for commodities. And, you know, in the traditional sense, you trade commodities, you trade futures contracts for commodities, which are basically, you know, contracts for a certain lot, commodities lot that project, you know, prices for, you know, going into the next quarter, or the next two quarters or whatnot. forward contracts, which are also specific to lots. You know, there's, you can trade derivatives. You can, there's all these different things right now. Mostly you do that with gold and with silver, potentially with, you know, wheat, maybe, you know, but coal or something like that, right? But commodities like tea are actually difficult to categorize and trade using traditional means, because, you know, you can't just say, I mean, you can say gold, right? Gold is LBMA gold. So LBMA standard, 99.9% pure gold. That's what's on all the commodity trading platforms, unless it says otherwise, unless it says something like Thai gold, which is a 96.5% purity. But for the most part, if you see gold on, you know, on a commodities index, it's LBMA gold.
Right.
And that's because, you know, gold is gold. It's just about the purity. It's not about the type, right, necessarily. Yep. Where with tea, well, you can't just say this is tea, right? You have to say, okay, so, you know, I mean, you got your Tokucha is different from your Ceylon price-wise as well. It's different from your oolong, different from your other, you know, your other green teas. I mean, they're just varieties. And so while the traditional markets cannot accommodate them, we can, through the use of fractional baskets, through the use of or just basically, you know, commodities baskets that we can now aggregate through the use of smart contracts and tokenization. And also just create easier subsets for these commodities to be traded against. So it essentially gives the opportunity for people to get into commodity fields that were not available for them before to get into, to speculate on, or to even take physical delivery on, because most of our spot buying and selling right now is physically settled. So people are not only buying the tokenized asset, they're consuming the tokenized asset, like tea, for example. So, and that's very cool, because even in traditional commodity fields, what you have is the ghost lot scenario, where you could have a contract representing a lot of, say, you know, iron ore or something like that, right? Yeah. But then when you actually, if you want to go and collect on the contract and you want to take delivery, it does that it might turn out that ore doesn't actually exist. So you're trading a phantom. With what we're doing, that's not going to happen. You have traceability attached to this, so you know that this really does exist. So essentially, you're de-risking yourself if you're a trader. If you're actually buying to consume this product, again, you're de-risking yourself because you have all this different documentation, all these different proofs showing where the product is from, so that when you're buying Ceylon tea, you know it's Ceylon tea. It's not some, you know, it comes from Sri Lanka. It comes from a plantation in Sri Lanka. It doesn't come from some place in India that says, oh yeah, by the way, this is also Ceylon, which can be.
Right.
So all of these things are important, you know, and all these things kind of provide new opportunities for people, for traders, for buyers and sellers to engage in and to take advantage of.
Right. And this is really where the future is going, not just from the RWA aspect, but I think people that obviously want traceability, they realize that the supply chain around a lot of goods and services they purchase, I mean, United States is horrible. It claims to be the best, but you know, the quality, you know, so many things are illegal in other countries that producers are allowed to put chemicals and things in the United States, as you know. But the traceability of things is important. But I do believe that just a brand, people really want to believe in certain, they believe in certain products, and they want to know that it's authentic. And I think that's where the traceability comes in. But I also think that's where, you know, people vote with their dollars. And I think this is a way, like you mentioned, is it opens up a whole different opportunity to put your money to work for you, for things you believe in and things you know are have a traceability factor to them. And, you know, and I do like how you called it the palm economy, because, you know, ultimately, you know, it's, you're creating an entire economy, which is also involves new investors. Clearly, I mean, it's not just the typical investors, as you mentioned, and I think that was a great point, is the typical commodities investors are investing in the things that are gold, diamonds, a few things that are very specific, categorized, and have certifications related to them. But almost all of the other commodities are not traced at any level, any accurate level at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. There is a big gap even in the mainstream commodities trading field with actual accountability and traceability for the existence of these commodities. And again, this is why what we're offering is so important, because this kind of solution is not just synergistic with emerging markets and underserved commodities, but it's also relevant for commodities that are mainstream. Yeah, it's very important, and it is a big problem for the commodities field right now.
So I agree. And the producers that you have, for example, how are you sourcing them? Like what kind of impact so far? I know this is early for your team and the project, but from the producer standpoint, say for the Ceylon tea or cinnamon, what kind of impact is this having so far, and how are they, what's their feedback?
You know what, the feedback's been magnificent. You know, they're very into what we're doing. Simply because it brings them access, it brings them exposure, which they cannot get by themselves because they just don't have that access. They don't have the opportunity to, you know, get worldwide exposure. The way we source our producers is through our connections. When we went into Sri Lanka, we started what's called the middle out approach. So we started working with the SROs and the MBOs. And of course, the government agencies to really understand and to kind of sink our teeth into the industry. And from these connections, we got connected to producers and people that are willing to participate in the ecosystem. And we started onboarding these producers. Now I believe we have something like 20 different producers that have been onboarded. Nice. And this is not just tea. This is, like I said, this is everything. You know, this is spices. This is honey. Soon is going to be rubber as well, because one of the producers also does rubber, coffee. And so again, it's a very personal and manual process for us. We do it one at a time. You know, we KYC the producers one at a time, and all of our producers are KYC'd on our platform. So once they start utilizing the platform, you know that these are not just somebody who just, you know, came off the street. These are trusted parties that are utilizing the platform.
Yeah, and then that's incredible. What about the on-site boots on the ground process? What does that look like from what the producer has to follow to comply with this traceability?
Yeah, so what they would have to do is utilize what we call Palmyra Pro, which is a mobile app that helps them with logging and cataloging their traceability cycle. And this is not something that we kind of forced on them. A lot of them already do this. In fact, pretty much all of them already do this. They catalog, picking times, picking days, amounts, then the processing, drying, curing, all this stuff. It's actually pretty meticulously cataloged. Now, it is done currently on paper a lot of times. It's done on paper. There's like a sheet somebody fills out and then passes on to the next person. They fill it out, pass it on to the next person. What we did was we digitized that. And so now they're utilizing the Palmyra Pro app for doing what they were doing manually on paper. And not only are they getting us the information, they're also using it for their own record keeping. So it's kind of like a win-win situation. And of course, like I said, we're going to be utilizing oracles for on-off chain data validation right now. Of course, we have a centralized oracle, which is us. But you know, going forward and getting into more volume, we're going to decentralize it with all these various different solutions.
Yeah, and obviously you're curating a data warehouse that's also valuable. You know, over time, the amount of data that you're collecting is incredible for this. Like you mentioned, each of these suppliers now have maybe a better process, more digital process. But for what you're bringing on chain, it's also just something that I think other companies will look at you as a source of truth on certain commodities in the future.
Yeah, and that's what we're kind of hoping to be. Not only are we looking to be a B2B provider, but we're also looking to be a solutions provider, which is essentially what a hub and spoke commodities exchange does, or really commodities exchanges do, you know, because you think that commodities exchange is somebody who just kind of, you know, runs price tickers and, you know, has people on the floor yelling buy, buy, or sell, sell, sell. And it's not. For the most part, a commodities exchange, which we are not, but we are striving to be, and we're looking to get licensed to be. What commodities exchanges do is they provide solutions to the producer, they provide solutions to the buyer, and everybody in between. They're solutions providers, right. And that's essentially what we are. We're solutions providers. We're providing solutions for the various different issues that already exist in the industry, and a lot of time by solving these issues, we actually solve two or three issues at the same time. By bringing one solution that really is so needed in the industry.
Yeah. And you're democratizing investment, which is great too. You're opening up a new investment class that to assets, you know, and commodities that haven't been available in the past, but also to anybody that wants to spin up a wallet and invest. I mean, it's much easier than getting a brokerage account and all the things that might be involved in trading traditional commodities today.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's about all about lower barrier of entry.
Yeah.
That's what we're about.
For sure. So I think it'd be a good transition to maybe just chat a bit more about the Palm token, the Palm economy, kind of project timelines. I know you had your first Launchpad event on T-1, which is a Launchpad partner. And I know that sold out very quickly. So I maybe chat a bit about that and just kind of talk more about as we transition to kind of the investor conversation of how this is democratizing it. And we did talk a bit about what the Palm token does and that the utility of it. But I think just kind of talking about your project timelines and other opportunities to get involved in the project.
Yeah. So the Palm economy's been having a tremendous month. We had a really small IDO and a platform called VLaunch, which is actually a Binance platform that, of course, we used our tokens on, but that's going to bridge the tokens to Binance, which is actually very interesting because now we're going to have tokens on various different chains, right? So we're going to have them on BNB, we're going to have them on Cardano. Of course, they're native to Cardano, but or they will be native to Cardano when they're available. Also, they are going to be available on Ergo through Rosenbridge, and of course, later on when Rosen comes out with the EVM bridge, they'll be available on the EVM side. So again, it's all about just kind of giving variety for incentives, because that's pretty much what it's about. It's about incentives and scaling the ecosystem. Yeah, and the T-1 IDOs were fantastic. We couldn't believe how fast these things sold out, because we allocated 5 days for the last one and it sold out within a half a day. And in fact, when you put them all together, because there were three stages, there was the RS ERG stage, the early ADA round that was attainable through that special NFT that we had, and the general round, and all those rounds put together sold out in under 24 hours, something like 17 hours. And we allotted 5 days for the whole thing. So it went fantastic. So going forward right now, we actually have a private sale happening. And so the whole point of the IDO, which was the initial distribution offering, it was the community round, was to give the community early access, right? So early access even before the private rounds. So it's sort of like the special community seed round that we did. So now we have the private round happening, after which we're going to have the public round happening. And that's after that, we actually launch the token. We are looking probably at the end of May, early June for launching the token. We're also finalizing with two very nice centralized exchanges for listing. That's going to happen pretty much immediately after the launch. We also have two really big Cardano DEXs that are really ready to work with us, and which are MintSwap and Wi-Fi. And so we're, of course, looking forward to working with them as well. Just going forward, I mean, we're just keep on pushing, you know, and getting that volume up on Palmyra so that these rebates keep happening and happening, and the Palm economy just keeps growing and growing.
Perfect plan. It's being executed so far. So definitely commend you and the team for that. Anything we missed as we're wrapping up? Sounds like we're within a month or so, 45 days of the token generation event and public launch. And we'll obviously keep up with your progress and the success and share this with the audience as we do this as well. Certainly can have you back or someone on the team at some point as you continue to evolve the platform and after the token is live.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think we covered it pretty well. It's just very exciting for us, for the team right now. It's very keeping everybody's morale really high because the community is so engaged and they showed us, you know, they came out in force. They, you know, we were thinking, I mean, of course, you know, when you're doing an IDO, when you're doing any kind of raise, there's always this thing in the back of your mind. I mean, as sure as you are in yourself, it's always like, you know, like something can go wrong. It could be like a black swan event, you know. I don't know, Godzilla could strike, you know, King Kong, whatever, you know. Just there's always stuff in the back of your mind. And then when something like this happens, when the community just says, whoa, we got you, you know, and they come out, and then they just scoop this stuff up, it really validates what we've been doing. You know, it really kind of makes us feel that, yes, we have been doing it right. We are on the right track. We're going to keep doing it. We're going to keep bringing it. And it just really puts a lot of energy into the team for us to keep pushing and keep making this happen, and really just makes it real for us as well. Because, you know, some people just might not have this understanding, and some do. The understanding of the process between ideation and realization. So something where you take it from idea to reality and on a large scale, right? On a project, for example, you know, you start thinking about the project, right? And this project in your mind seems to be this like vast thing, right? And then months or years later, if you stick to it, if you develop it, if you push it, when it actually becomes a reality, sort of like how Cardano was, you know, I mean, in our minds in, you know, early 2016, it was still like this thing that if we make it is going to be awesome. But it was still just a little bit of that if, right? If, or yeah, not just if, but when. And that when was just, well, is it going to be when, like soon or when? Like, we're going to keep waiting for it, and finally somebody's going to say, okay, let's just flip the switch and just get it done. It's going to be one of those. And so when you get to that point, when you flip the switch and it is done, or you flip the switch and it starts working, it's an indescribable feeling. And this is why I always thank the community for the support that they've given us, the push, the morale. And yeah, just like I said, I always say that we will not fail you. We'll keep doing what we're doing. And what you've done so far to support us, it only validates that, you know, we are on the right track and that we are doing something that matters. And so that's very important. And yeah, definitely, I would love to be back on the show, Travis, and get some of the other people on my team on here, and we can converse further. We can do an update once everything launches, and you know, see where we're at that point. So I think that would be a good time to maybe have a revisit.
I agree. Yeah, I love that, Dan. I think just to recap too what you said, I think what we talked about from the very beginning is a perfect thing to draw back to, is your reputation in the industry as a whole, but also within the Cardano community, you know, obviously says a lot about the turnout for the community support, I think, in some ways. But as you mentioned, and why my passion is on RWA projects is going from the idea to reality is a little more, you know, the dots are a little clearer. As you know, you did one of the most difficult tasks in being an origin team of Cardano, because you know the technology wasn't all there yet. The reality of that wasn't all there. I do think there's a significantly better opportunity to succeed just because the community understands at least half of what you're doing. You know, not everyone understands all the oracles that you're building and the technology marvel that's happening under the hood, but realizing that they can now invest and participate in a community that is handling traceable rare commodities that you can't get anywhere else in this kind of managed ecosystem, I think is, you know, that's always step one. And I think that's great. And I think the Cardano community, for example, I think everybody's been looking for these real world application projects. So, you know, you really built the right thing at the right time. And I'm seeing other projects. And as you know, I've talked to other projects that are doing the same thing on Cardano and other chains. And you know, this is a great time. I think as we fast forward the next 5 years, we'll see just an amazing impact from projects like yourself. So yeah, definitely the invite's there for you to come back or the team, and really excited about the next 60 days as you move into full launch.
I appreciate that, Travis, and really looking forward to coming back and kind of giving you more success stories.
Perfect. Enjoy your day. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks a lot.
Cheers. And that's a wrap for this episode of the Real World Assets Show. Thanks for joining us on our journey to transform the future of finance, one asset and token at a time. For more insights, visit us on the web at rwa.builders. I'm Travis John, and I'll see you on the next episode.